these two racing dudes named Aaron and Jared, who had advice on racing and they wanted to share it. Started a website where players go to see all their picks. The goal was make the fans some money and to cut down the risk. They put the plan into motion and at first it seemed silly. Make a website where the expert picks are freer than Willie. From a racetrack veteran to just a beginner, there's one place that you want to go to find you a winner. As a matter of fact, I want to hit the exacta. There's only one site that you'll keep coming back to. So next time that the horses all line up at the post, make sure you use the website that'll win you the most. Whether Churchill, Oaklawn, Gulfstream Park, Saratoga, and all tracks in between, there's only one site to go to. When it comes to your racing needs and all of your bets, plus it's got a catchy name that no one ever forgets. RacingDudes.com for all of your needs. RacingDudes.com for all of your leads. RacingDudes.com for all of your bets. RacingDudes.com, as good as it gets. RacingDudes.com for all of your needs. RacingDudes.com for all of your leads. RacingDudes.com for all of your bets. RacingDudes.com, as good as it gets.
What's going on? I'm Jared Welch, and this is a special edition of Blinkers Off. If you've been following us lately, you know we're big on Triple Crown hopeful by the name of the Gomper. He's a horse that has two lifetime starts with a maiden win, first time out at Los Alamitos, and then a second place finish in the allowance at Santa Anita, both at 6 furlongs or less. The one at Los Al was 5.5 furlongs, actually, and he nearly set the track record. This horse is bred to go long, people, so it's pretty shocking to see him run so well at such a short distance. The Triple Crown has to be in their sights, and we were actually lucky enough to get an exclusive interview with one of the owners of the Gomper, Jeffrey Bloom. He's managing director of Bloom Racing Stable, who owns the horse. So we went to our West Coast correspondent, Ryan Stillman, and sent him on the task of interviewing Jeffrey Bloom. And it turned out to be an excellent interview. Learn more about the operation, the horse, you know, the horse, and really what they think about the horse moving forward. Enjoy.
Hi, everyone. My name is Ryan Stillman with RacingDudes.com, and we are here today with one of the owners of the Gomper, Jeffrey Bloom. Jeffrey, how are you today?
Oh, I'm doing well. Thanks for asking.
Absolutely. You know, I'm doing some research on you, and you have quite a history in racing. I was curious, how did you get involved in horse racing, period?
I'll tell you, it's a very long story that I won't bore you with, but when I was very young, my oldest brother took me to the races here locally at Del Mar, and I don't know, I was like 8 or 9 years old. I walked through those gates and just absolutely fell in love with just the color, the pageantry, the excitement. I said, I'm going to be a jockey, and of course, no connections to horse racing in our family whatsoever, and figured out a way to convince a retired jockey who became a trainer to take me under his wings and moved in with he and his family, and the rest is history. I trained for about 3 years at a local training center, San Luis Rey Downs, and started riding races at the age of 18.
Wow. You've done it all, it sounds like. And, you know, it sounds like from your time as a jockey, I did some research on that. Do you have any particular favorite memories? We have a lot of fans who are jockeys, and maybe they could relate.
You know, it's really hard to explain to people how exciting, fun, and wonderful it is to be a jockey. So just the fact that I made it and was able to ride professionally, of course. You know, the biggest race I won as a jockey was up in Canada, a race called the Manitoba Derby, which was quite a thrill. Actually, most of my success as a jockey came up in Western Canada. But I'd have to say, you know, one of my biggest thrills that sort of ties into that, towards the end of my career and when I had stopped riding races, I became a work rider and was fortunate to work for guys like Eddie Gregson and Charlie Whittingham, and was fortunate enough to actually work out one of the Kentucky Derby winners, the 1989 winner, Sunday Silence. So I've been on the backs of many, many phenomenal Grade 1 winners over the years.
Wow. So not only were you on a Kentucky Derby winner, one of the greatest sires of all time, you worked with arguably the greatest trainer of all time, Charlie Whittingham. Do you have any memories particularly of working with him?
Yeah, I mean, every day, you know, you could come up with a good story. I mean, just a wonderful, you know, human being overall. But obviously, it goes without saying, one of the most incredible horsemen. And that's one of the neat things about, you know, my career was, you know, when I started out, I started out as a groom. The guy that taught me, Muzzy Francis, you know, wanted me to understand, learn, and appreciate everything about the horse from the ground up. And so, you know, as my career continued on, it wasn't just about riding horses, but it was understanding, you know, what goes into getting horses to the races. And probably probably no better in the business, in the history of our game, than Charlie Whittingham in terms of conditioning horses and understanding, you know, how to place horses. And so, but certainly just a wonderful guy to work for.
Jeffrey, looking over your resume of things you've done in racing, it seems like you've done everything. I wasn't able to find out if you were a trainer or not, but maybe that's the only thing you haven't done. I'm not sure.
Well, I was never a trainer. I was a jockey, I was a groom and exercise rider, and then my transition on the racing side was tied into managing and overseeing a stable. So I never actually trained horses, but I've certainly spent a lot of time in and around trainers. That's one of the hats I have not worn in this industry.
Well, what track is home to you? Because it sounds like you love Del Mar. What would you say is your home?
Well, I'm from San Diego. I grew up here, and so that was one of the neat things, too, because, you know, we're fortunate here in San Diego to have one of the world's greatest racetracks in Del Mar, and I actually got to ride my first race at Del Mar. So Del Mar will always be home and hold a special place in my heart as far as racetracks go, certainly.
Wow. Looking at what you guys do at Bloom Racing Stable, I have to say I'm blown away. You guys just seem like an operation that we're going to be hearing more and more from. You guys do, it seems, everything, pin hooking, all this. Could you tell me a little bit about your operation and how it works?
Yeah, so we do quite a bit in the industry with our racing business. Our parent company, Bloom Squared, is an investment company, and then sitting underneath that is our racing business, Bloom Racing. And our racing business does dabble in a variety of things. Our core business is on the racing side, where we go out and we acquire horses at the public auctions, both the yearling sales, the baby sales, and the two-year-olds and training sales. And then we have done some pin hooking, as well as we've gotten involved as of late with some breeding as well. And that's a lot of fun because while it's not as fast or as quick in terms of the action, it's really fun to see how the horses develop, they evolve, and placing those horses in the sales to see how they're then appreciated from the buyers. And so we do have a lot of different things going on, and in fact we're just getting ready to start up a brand new syndication where we're going to be releasing a number of horses that we bought as yearlings.
Wow. I mean, people think also when they're looking to get involved in new stables, what's their history? What have they done? And, to show a little bit about how good you guys are, before the Gomper and before other successes, I read that your very first purchase, that's what I read, ran in the 2011 Breeders' Cup Juvenile Turf. Is that correct?
Yeah, that was really surreal. At the very first horse that was acquired by our stable, Majestic City, who actually, by the way, is still going strong. He's been off for a little while, and he's about 2 weeks away from coming back to the races. But I'll never forget when, they were doing the entries for the Breeders' Cup, and I was sitting at the breakfast, and they were announcing the horses, and then they go through the odds, and it was just such an a wonderful experience when they called out the odds and said the morning line favorite for the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Turf, Majestic City. So yes, that is correct, and he's been just a wonderful horse for us.
Wow, I mean, it's so cool. I think anybody who loves racing would just die to have an experience like that. And from what I'm gathering, people could join Bloom Racing Stable as a partner. Is that correct? Is there ways to get involved?
Yeah, and so we just actually are in the process of retooling all of our marketing materials and our website, getting it up to speed. If people did have an interest, they could visit our website at bloomracing.com. All of our contact information is there. And soon, the entire roster of not only our existing horses, but some of the horses that we will have available for people to participate in as part owners will be up on the site very soon as well.
Is there other ways also? I'd love to, if you have a Twitter plug or anything, for them to fans to reach out to you that way, or email. Is there any other place you recommend, or is Bloom Racing Stables website got it all there for them if that's the best way to get to you?
All the information is there, but you can also send us an email at info@bloomracing.com. And we do have a Twitter feed, which is @BloomRacing. And then we have a Facebook page, too, which is Bloom Racing. So pretty straightforward stuff. As long as Bloom Racing's in there, you'll pretty much be able to find us that way.
That's fantastic, and it's an easy name to spell, so I think no one will have trouble, and I highly recommend it. And if you don't believe me by now that this is a stable to be listening to and that you'll be hearing a lot from, you certainly will, in my opinion, very shortly, if not already, with this wonderful, fantastic horse, the Gomper. And when I think about a horse like this, I mean, it must be a thrill for you because he's, you know, he's one of the big candidates for the Kentucky Derby. Everyone's very excited. Derby fever is rampant. But you hear the name, and everybody wants to know on our website, where did this horse get the name the Gomper?
Yeah, so that's, and I get that all the time. You know, it's funny. We, my main partner and I, you know, Andrew Yaffe, flies into San Diego quite a bit, and he had mentioned to me that when he was flying in one day, he saw this big football field, and on it, it said the Gompers, and I, of course, said, well, they wouldn't name, you know, a mascot or a team the Gompers, and so finally, he took a picture of it and sent it to me, and I'm like, wow, that's you're right about that. And we joked around about it, and I said, the next big prospect that we have, the horse that we think is going to be the shining light for us, we have to name the Gomper. And so we had been holding on to that for a little while, and so it depends on who you ask. If you ask me or Andrew or somebody else, you might get a different answer, but that's essentially where the name comes from.
That's amazing. So you guys were waiting for a special horse to name the Gomper, and what was it about this horse? I mean, obviously the fact that you guys were able to pick out in your first horse a Breeders' Cup Juvenile Turf runner, a favorite, I mean, it's what did you see? How did you come to purchase this horse? And did you know right away this was something special?
Well, when you're buying babies, you know, you kind of have to extrapolate a lot and sort of project out what you think the horse will do in terms of their growth patterns and things like that. But I can say that from the get-go, when I bought the Gomper, bought him as a yearling at the September Keeneland sale and was always very high on him. And he was actually part of a group of horses that we had planned on actually selling, you know, for profit. And he was one of two horses that went to one of the premier sales. And he actually was again, one of our top prospects to sell. And he had a little bit of an injury that was going to discount his price. And so I was just so high on the horse that I said, you know what, there's no way I'm going to discount this horse. We love him. Let's just keep him and race him. And as soon as we did that, it was just such a relief because we liked him all along anyways. And once this horse healed up from the minor injury, it was immediately apparent that this was the horse was a different kind of horse. You know, having been around horses my whole life, you can tell the good ones. You never know for sure until they get out there and run and compete against horses, but we were pretty confident that we had a difference maker in the Gomper from the get-go.
Was one of the selling points for this horse, I mean, I feel like he slipped through the cracks and people don't even realize, I mean, when this horse goes off to stud, he's ready to run for days and days. Were you aware of that at the time? Was that one of the things you were looking for? Was it a classic horse? I mean, this horse has got Mom's Command as a second dam on the bottom. He's got all three Triple Crown winners on top. I mean, what was it about his pedigree that just stood out to you at the sales?
Well, there are a number of factors that go into the decision-making process. First and foremost, for me, it's trying to find the athlete. And you hear that a lot from people, but it truly is the case where you're looking at the individual. Before you evaluate the pedigree, you want to look at the physical attributes of the horse. And to me, I really loved the way this horse looked, like he had the proper balance and sort of the projection of his growth. You know, and you're guessing at it a little bit. And then when you combine that with the fact that, yeah, you're absolutely right. I'm a fan of Sky Mesa, his stallion, in general. I thought that, you know, Sky Mesa's, you're still able, at the time, were able to buy them at a fair price, and the bottom side screamed of classic distance, which I love, especially if, you know, two reasons. One, from the standpoint of if you're going to resell the horse, people are going to appreciate that, and all of us, you know, strive to get to the Triple Crown, and this horse definitely had the makings of two-turn pedigree, you know, on the bottom. So all of those factors combined to, you know, this looks like a great opportunity. The reason why he was what I'd call a bargain basement price at the time, you know, there's thousands of horses at that sale, and he was a little bit light, a little bit, like, not fully developed, you know, compared to a number of the horses that a lot of the pinhookers will look at and some of the, you know, trainers that are looking at horses that they can get ready quick. But, you know, at the end of the day, it certainly worked out well.
It's just great. You're just sitting on a monster right now. You know, he gets to his first race, and based on the pedigree that research I've done with him, you know, even though he's not troubled at the shorter distances, how impressed were you first time out that he was just almost setting a track record at Los Alamitos?
Yeah, I got to tell you, that's one of the few races that I have experienced, whether it was just as a fan or an owner, that I got goosebumps and I was just speechless. And, you know, I was watching the race apart from Ron Ellis, and when we saw each other, we just kind of looked at each other like, oh my God, this is something special. And the horse wasn't supposed to win first out. I mean, look, our trainer was, I think, what, 0 for 28 or 29 with first-time starters. The horse, you know, was coming into the race at a huge disadvantage because of how short it was. He hadn't been pushed real hard, you know, to sprint. And so to do what he did, we expected to see a big performance. What we saw was mind-boggling, and I really do compare it to the likes of a Sunday Silence. I mean, that was the feeling I got, that complete sort of crossover, if you will, from good horse to spectacular, and we're, you know, we still get goosebumps when we think about it.
It's funny you say that. If you look, you know, at the article, I make that comparison too. That's what I saw in him. I didn't even know you knew Sunday Silence or anything. You know, he does have that kind of thing where it's just, he's this athletic colt. He's doing things just so easy, very professionally. I mean, and you would know right away what a Sunday Silence colt would be like more than anyone. I mean, so it's funny. You guys have this experience. Right away, obviously, it makes a name. The second race, I think, in defeat, he made more fans than, you know, if he'd even won. The way he cuts the turns, the way he moves, you know, in that second race, can you talk about the experience? He lost, but I don't think he lost much in defeat.
No, and thank you for pointing that out. It's kind of interesting because we went into that race, you know, talking about how, you know, likely we're going to match up against one or two really good quality sprinters. We're not a sprinter, and we're definitely not going to shoot out of there quick enough on a track that's going to favor the speed, especially good speed, to you know, get the win. And so what we were looking for, again, was more development, foundation, education, and, you know, the instructions were just, you know, go ahead and let this horse get the experience. He's going to make his move. Don't get him in trouble. And in defeat, we you know, he actually ran a better number, both buyer and sheet number, in that race in defeat. And the horse that beat us is an exceptional sprinter. And, you know, we were, like 7 lengths in front of the rest of the field. And that was with just really, like Joe said, the horse didn't get into gear till he pretty much hit the wire. So we were... It sounds odd because we finished second, but we were extremely pleased with the result, and the horse came out of the race better than he went into it and has been training like a monster ever since.
I was very curious about that, and I'm glad to hear that that's how it all played out, because I think, you know, Ron Ellis, to me, your trainer, I mean, he's a real horseman's horseman. I mean, this is the kind of guy, he's bringing this horse along, sort of a Charlie Whittingham thing. So when you're watching this, I mean, every race will lead to the next, will lead to the next, will lead to the next. And I'm curious what his next race is going to be, because, you know, it's such we're on pins and needles waiting to see him run. Do you guys have any thoughts or anything on the books?
Yeah, so believe it or not, this will be the first public answer to that question, because, you know, we've been kind of evaluating what is, you know, the best place for us to go after that last race. And so right now the plan is for the Gomper to run next in the Robert Lewis Stakes, going a mile and a 16th at Santa Anita. I believe it's on February 7th. And so we're going to finally get the chance to let the big guy stretch out to the full 2 turns. And, you know, he's going to be matched up against a bunch of quality 3-year-olds that probably have a little bit more seasoning than him. But we definitely want to take advantage of, you know, adding value to the 2-turn situation for him.
Wow. Thank you so much for telling us where, because, I mean, it's an honor to know. And I got to say, I was talking the other day to someone, and they were saying how good the horses that are 3-year-olds right now are in California. And they're talking about this one and that one. And I said, do any of the ones you just listed have a near track record in their past? I mean, I'm very confident that he will acquit himself very well. I mean, from everything I'm seeing, Ron Ellis You know, he seems to be a man. He's trained an Eclipse Award winner. How is he feeling about this horse? I mean, you know a good horse when you see one, and so does your trainer. I'd love to know what his opinion is of the Gomper.
Yeah, you know, Ron is a consummate professional, and he's just an absolute quality horseman. And, you know, he tends to weigh on the side of conservative and allow horses to develop. And, you know, we love working with him and the way that the horses are treated. And Ron definitely is not the kind of guy who's going to hype things up and get ahead of, you know, getting you excited. Yet what's interesting, I've been with Ron for a while now, and the only time I've ever seen Ron jump out of that mold is with the Gomper. I mean, he's ever since the Gomper arrived to the barn, Ron also recognized that he's a different kind of horse. He does things that good horses do, and so Ron's very excited about the Gomper. He does believe he has the makings of being, you know, the real deal. The horse has already shown that to us, and just the way the horse acts around the barn, the way he acts around the racetrack, Ron's on the same page with all of us, and it's exciting. You know, everybody around the barn has always said, you know, this horse is special. And again, it's one of those things that's hard to explain to people if they're not around racehorses all the time, but the real special ones, you know it when you're around them.
And, you know, I feel like I could be totally wrong, but, you know, Joe Talamo is one of those jockeys that to me feels like he's, you know, some guys you just look at and you say they're destined to win a Derby or, you know, go on. I feel like he's one of those guys to me. You know, he's a really talented young rider, and he's on your horse, and he's ridden in Derbies, and he's ridden great horses. You know, what is Joe Talamo saying about this horse?
Yeah, so Joe's been, you know, getting on the Gomper for quite some time, and Joe made sure to come out and work the horse. After he got on the Gomper the first time, Joe hasn't missed a workout, you know, for the horse. Joe recognized right away as well. And like I said, it's pretty easy when you're a rider to tell the special ones. So Joe's always been very excited about this horse, and there's no question that, you know, he thinks that this is, he and his agent, that this is the horse that's going to take him to the big show. And he's an exceptional rider. He's far beyond, you know, his years in terms of his class, his ability, his knowledge, his awareness of things, Joe is. And, you know, Joe's ridden a lot of big races. So hopefully this is the one that gets it done for Joe. That would be a good situation for all of us.
And I was looking on your, you know, into your history, and from what I see, Joe rides for you a lot. Is that correct?
Yeah, you know, well, Joe rides in general for Ron Ellis a lot, and we have horses with Ron. But, yeah, you know, I love when Joe's on my horses, and, you know, he's done well for us, and it's a lot of fun.
I just wanted to mention that because I want people to realize, you know, that might not know about you guys, just how well-oiled of a machine you guys are. I mean, you guys are dealing with top-notch jockeys, top-notch trainers, and you're delivering the goods. You know about pedigrees and all this. So with that being said, what kind of road do you have in mind if everything keeps going ideally for the Triple Crown? Are you guys planning on staying in California, do you think? The Racing Dudes are based in Oaklawn, so they're hoping you guys would ship out there. I'm telling them good luck, guys. But I'm curious to know if you guys are looking ahead to stay in California or any plans at the minute if things go the way they are?
That's a fair question, and you know, with these kinds of situations, you do create a blueprint or a map, if you will, for how you're going to, you know, you work back from the end game, ultimately here, the Kentucky Derby. And so how you get there might adjust depending upon weather, schedules, and where horses are going. So, you know, right now we're concentrating on what's local, you know, the next racehorse, the Robert Lewis. You know, ideally, you stay local if you can, just because it's easier on the horse than shipping around. But the good news is there are lots of opportunities. I love Oaklawn. It's one of my favorite tracks to go and run at. We've taken Majestic City there. And we also have another real nice three-year-old that's the favorite. He's the morning line favorite for Saturday's California Derby. So that would be a great problem to have, right, if this horse wins that. And then, you know, we try to keep these horses apart. So, you know, there very much could be travel in the plans for either of these horses if it works out the right way.
What's the name of that horse? Could you tell us right now?
Yeah, Soul Driver. Tyler Bays is going to ship up from Santa Anita to ride him for us on Saturday in the California Derby.
Wow. Well, I mean, we'll definitely be looking for that. I mean, you know, some questions we had from people wanting to get to know the Gomper a little better. What kind of disposition does the horse have?
Yeah, he's an interesting horse. You know, he's got a ton of personality. When he's in his stall, he's got the Hannibal Lecter cage, you know, around him, just because when he's in his stall, he likes to be left alone. He doesn't want to be pestered. When he's out of his stall, he's all about come and see me, hang out with me. And it's funny because for a horse who's as, if I don't want to say high strung, but filled with energy, you can stand him on the racetrack or on his, like he'll walk down to the track and he'll stop and just kind of check out the scene. He'll look around. And when he gets on the track, I mean, sometimes the rider, the exercise rider, will stand him there for 15 minutes just kind of watching things go by him. And, you know, it doesn't matter if there's a mishap around him. He just relaxes. He drops his head down. So he's got a ton of class. He loves being around people, you know, when he's out of his stall. But when he's in his stall, that's his area. It's kind of like a dog in their crate. You know, just leave him alone and give me life and I'll be happy.
Wow. I mean, a lot of personality, which look at Zenyatta, look at all these, you know, horses. That always goes a long way with people. And the great ones have great personalities, the smarter horses. Around the barn, does he have a nickname or anything? Do you guys have a name you like to call him?
You know, we do come up with nicknames for horses all the time, but because this horse has such a unique, funny, quirky name, he is Gomper. So it just works all the way around.
I love it. And you know, this is a question somebody asked to ask you. They wanted to know if you give the horse beer, and if he does, what kind of beer does he drink?
We keep the beer for ourselves at this point, but I have heard in the past people talking about giving horse a beer every now and then, and so maybe after he wins his first graded stake, we'll celebrate by giving him a beer or champagne, something like that.
Yeah, I think he would have earned it. Well, I've gotten through, Jeffrey, the majority of these questions. I had four more. Do you have time I can ask you four more questions?
You bet.
Being a former jockey, do you feel like jockeys are criticized too much for poor rides these days?
Yes. You know, it's funny because I'm always sensitive to watching races and hearing the crowd, you know, talk about their criticisms of jockeys and mistakes that they think they're making. And, you know, like sometimes it's warranted, but the reality is unless somebody's been on the back of a racehorse and in an actual horse race, it's very difficult for anybody to appreciate, understand, or even comment on what they're watching. You know, with that said, I get where people are coming from, but yes, I am very sensitive to the criticism that you hear when people watch a ride and talk about a rider.
It's good, great to know. I mean, as you'd be the perfect, it's just great that we could finally ask somebody who has such a good insight on that from all angles of this. And I read that you worked at one point with West Point Thoroughbreds. Is that correct?
Yeah, so before Bloom Racing Stable, a number of years ago, I launched, managed, ran, started the program for West Point Thoroughbreds out here on the West Coast, and we had a really nice run together. I was with West Point for about 7 years, and real proud of our success and development that we put together out here on the West Coast.
Gosh, I mean, so you've done just so much. It's, you know, being around all of these great horses, just taking aside any horse you've owned, what would you say is your all-time favorite racehorse?
Wow, that's a tough one. There's, you know, it's funny because you wouldn't know who the horse is that I would mention just from, you know, just modest success. But, you know, it's funny. I can pretty much remember almost, and I've been on the back of thousands and thousands of racehorses, and I can pretty much remember every single one of them. But my first stake win, as a jockey, came on a horse, as it turns out, was a California bred up in Canada named Camp Out. And he really helped launch my career and success up in Western Canada. So he would have to be one of my favorite horses. But, you know, I got on so many good horses, you know, when I was working for Charlie. One of my favorite horses to work out was a phenomenal racehorse by the name of Ruhlman. And I got to work him out a lot. And he was like sitting on a freight train. So I just, a lot of good memories of horses. When I was at West Point, I spent so much time with Awesome Jim, and I actually used to work him out. I will always love Awesome Jim, and he did so many great things, you know, for us. So many. It's really hard to pick just one horse.
It's just amazing how many horses you've been around that are so great. You know, last year we got to see with Art Sherman how he, you know, exercise rode on Swaps. You exercise rode on Sunday Silence. It's just, it'd be fitting, you know, another California year like that. I mean, we're all hoping for it. You know, we're really rooting. And, you know, it's funny. One of the things I've seen with a lot of these great horses is they have like a stable companion or a horse they love to hang around or a dog. Or does Gomper have anything like that?
You know, you do hear those stories, and Gomper likes to just kind of be left alone. He's his own cat. His groom. They have such a great relationship. The groom knows just when to leave the Gomper alone. The Gomper knows just when he's going to need to be, you know, handled by his groom. And so it's they have a great rapport together. But I mean, the Gomper is definitely his own cat. And he's one of these horses that says, you know, I know what I'm doing. Just leave me alone, and we'll get it done.
Gosh, people are going to fall in love with this horse if they haven't already. The Gomper, look for him. Jeffrey, thank you so much for all of your time, for answering the questions. You know, would it be possible if we had you on the show again after another one of his races, or talk to you, catch up? We're big fans of you and big fans of the horse.
It would be my pleasure, and definitely appreciate the fondness you have for our program and the Gomper in particular, of course.
Thank you so much. And the website, again, Bloom Racing, just check it out. Check them out on Twitter. And get involved, because you will before their prices go up. They'll be a bigger name every year. I've got that feeling. Jeff, thank you again, my friend.
Thanks so much. Have a great day.
You too. Take care.
Thanks, Ryan. That was great. Listen, guys, this horse is available on some future wagers at 80-1 to win the Kentucky Derby. Now, are we sitting here saying this horse is going to win it? No, I mean, who knows? It's hard. You know how impossible it is. But this horse certainly shows promise, and 80-1, if you're into that kind of wager, you know, hard to go wrong with, you know, throwing a couple bucks at it. Robert B. Lewis Stakes, that's his next start. We heard it on the interview, that exclusive. It was the first time he had mentioned to anybody when the next start would be. The Robert B. Lewis at Santa Anita, February 7th, 2015. It's a couple weeks away. I mean, at least look at the past winners of this race. Candy Boy, Flashback, I'll Have Another. Pioneer of the Nile, you know, just to name a few that I can think of the top of my head. This is a race that, you know, good horses win. So he's definitely got a shot. Certainly want to see what he does, going, two turns. So, we'll see, but, I cannot wait to see this horse run again. All right. Check us out at racingdudes.com for our free picks and our civil plays available every weekend, as well as every day for Aqueduct, Gulfstream, Park, Fairgrounds, Santa Anita, and I believe we'll have Fairgrounds this weekend. We're currently covering 18 tracks, all offering free picks, so check us out. We're on Twitter at @racing_dudes, LinkedIn, Google+, and Facebook. The dudes are going to be at Oaklawn starting tomorrow, Saturday through Monday, so if you're going, hit us up. We'd love to meet. If you're not going, you want information, anything like that, tweet us, message us, email us, whatever. We'll try to get back with you and give you any insight we can at the track. All right, I'm Jared Welch. Good luck this weekend.
For all of your bets, racingdudes.com, as good as it gets.